statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
There's quite a lot with this, but I'm going to try and simplify it as much as I can. But we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 19 to 25. And it says here, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith or hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And I'm calling this teaching, He Has Entered Bodily Into Heaven. He has entered bodily into heaven. Now, these scriptures that I've read here, to break them down, we see that verses 19 to 21 is fundamentally a statement. This is what happened. And verses 23 to 25 is our faith, our actions. In other words, it's our step of faith on believing the statement that what actually happened. And the emphasis, of course, to this is that we have boldness, we have access. And secondly, we have a great high priest. So that is what we're fundamentally looking at. We're looking at, firstly, the statement, verses 19 to 21, and we're looking at, first and foremost, as to what happened. As it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, this idea of having boldness The idea of this is actually to run. The idea of running forward, running into the presence of God with boldness, not timidity or afraid, but it's this, that boldness, and you can only do that when you have understood the statement. You've understood what has happened. And if you have been affected, influenced by what Christ has done for us, in return, our faith, our belief in that produces that boldness. In other words, I run into the presence of God. And this is why I'm always emphasizing that when we fall short of the glory of God, or we have sinned, the nature of sin, the power of sin, always wants to cause us to hide, to run away. We know exactly, of course, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, they sinned. They covered themselves. They hid from God. And that is what it always does. This is why the world walks in darkness. But we are the light of the world through Jesus Christ, his light shining through us into this world of darkness. I think sometimes we're not aware of that always. And so here we get this idea, therefore, brethren, having boldness, or run. Run with all your might and enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Whatever you're going through, whatever has happened, yes, you may have fallen short. Yes, you have sinned. But fight against that hiding, that darkness, and run boldly by faith into the presence of Almighty God, that the blood of Jesus can continue to cleanse you and keep you in his presence. That is why I emphasize this so much in my ministry. Because we live in this world, and to live in this world is not easy. It is a challenge every day when we get out of bed. We have moral and ethical decisions. We depend upon the Holy Spirit leading and guiding, guarding our words, our actions, keeping that walk and consecration. I'm not going to say for one moment that that's a doddle, that's easy. It's a challenge. But we have to remember, brothers and sisters, we're greatly privileged beyond all words that we now have someone to run to with boldness. The world doesn't out there. But the world is still challenged with trials, testings, things that happen and go on. And I don't know how they do it without Jesus in their life. So that is certainly a means by which we have that boldness to enter into his presence. In other words, what it's meaning is that we have an entrance into the holiest of holiest, by the blood of the Lamb. In other words, it means he's consecrated this for us. He has gone before and prepared for us to enter into God's presence through Christ. That again is why we run forward with confidence and boldness into this. He's consecrated this for us. It's a new and living way. It's through the veil, that is his flesh, verse 20, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. So, what is our understanding then of this, what we've just read? Well, firstly, it's the entrance of the holiest. Now, there are a lot of people who believe that when we get saved and we receive the nature, the new nature in Jesus Christ, that we now enter, in a sense, the holiest of holiest. And of course, we do by faith. But it's much, much, much more than that, what it's saying. You see, firstly, it's the true holy of holies. It's the heaven upon heavens. We're talking about the very presence of Almighty God. This is what Jesus Christ accomplished. He didn't merely go into heaven. He went into the heaven of heavens. There are three heavens. The third being the very presence of Almighty God, which no one can enter without being burnt up. You would cease to exist by the very presence of Almighty God. But Jesus is the only one who has entered as a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So what is it all meaning here? It actually means he bodily entered the presence of Almighty God. Remember that he came, Philippians 2 tells us, that he emptied himself. He took on human form, human flesh. This had never happened before. God is spirit. And they that worship him in spirit and in truth. He's pure, undefiled spirit. He's uncreated. He always has been, always will be. Never a time when he was not. Everything else other than God is created. But he is not. He is spirit. He is love. He is mercy. He's not a spirit or a love. No, no, he is. And so we find then Jesus, as the high priest, bodily enters the very holiest of holies, the very presence of Almighty God. And that entrance door is Jesus Christ. That is why he's the door. He's that open door, the doorway which opens into the very presence of Almighty God that gives you authority to call him Father, because you are now adopted as sons. He has now become your Father in heaven. That is why Jesus taught the disciples the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. And this is on the basis that Jesus entered bodily into the very holy of holies, into the heaven of heavens. He's opened up, in other words, a new way for us. And in order for a new way to be opened up for us, it required the shedding of his blood. Because through the blood we know is the life. The life is in the blood. And what life was shed in the blood, it was the life of God Almighty. That is why the blood is so powerful. When you confess the blood, when you overcome by the blood, you are overcoming by the life, the eternal life of Almighty God, who cannot die. That is what you are confessing. That is what you are applying. That is your faith, what you believe upon. Let's look at verses 11 and 12 of the same chapter in Hebrews. Verses 11 and 12. And every priest stands ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. So he has sat down at the right hand of God. That one sacrifice that was needed to appease, to satisfy the Father's wrath, God's wrath. And what is to be accomplished? What is the mission? Verse 13 tells us, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. And that is why I make so much about our spiritual warfare. If you are with Christ, if you are seated with him in heavenly places, then we do what he is doing. That through our prayers, our faith, our warfare, our confession, our coming against powers, principalities, till his enemies are made his footstool. We do it for him, not for us. So often our warfare is always about us. My breakthroughs, I've got to come against the enemy, this and that and everything. And yes, to a certain extent it is, but it's bigger than that. I come against the powers of darkness for him. I work with him. I move with him till his enemies are made his footstool. That is what I want. It's for his footstool. It's what he did. It's what he accomplished. It's what he overcame at Calvary. When you begin to see this, brothers and sisters, in that light, you will begin to rise up in the spirit that God has given you. Because the enemy is not only his footstool, he's also the church's footstool. Because you cannot separate the body of Christ and Christ from his body. And we stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ. You can't separate any of this. And he has done this bodily, himself, entered into the holies of holies. Well, let's carry on with this. It says in verse 20, by that new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Now, the veil. Now the veil so often is simply referred to his flesh. And of course it is. But when you study the scriptures and you study the doctrines, you can't just stop there. It actually means that he carried his flesh. He carried himself. He carried his human nature along with him to heaven into the very presence of Almighty God. He took himself and his flesh, his new humanity that was raised up on the third day, he took that into the very presence of Almighty God. In other words, his flesh. Because flesh had sinned. The flesh side of man had fallen into sin. A new Adam had to be formed. A new humanity. And he is the first. He is the one who has gone before. to present to the Father in the holiest of holies. This is the new creation. This is the new humanity. I have overcome death, sin. This is it. Here I am. And our Heavenly Father received him. He received him on the basis of a high priest. He had to go through that role still, through the Old Testament, to fulfill it, where the high priest went into the holies of holies once a year to offer up sacrifice for Israel. Only the high priest could do that. The rest of the priesthood had to remain outside. And we know the story that where he was bound with cords, that if in offering up the sacrifice it wasn't accepted, he would be struck dead in the very presence of God in the holies of holies. And the only way that they could get access to the high priest was to pull him out with the cord that was attached to him if it was not received. In the tabernacle, in the holies of holies, that was the presence of God under the old covenant to Israel. That was God's presence that followed them. But that didn't appease the wrath of God. And as we've read to you, those offerings of those animals didn't last. It had to be settled. It had to be finalized. And the only one who could do that was Christ himself, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That finished everything under the old covenant. And as he presented himself before the holies of holies, before the very presence of Almighty God, that appeased the wrath of God. It was fulfilled. It was done. God's wrath against man falling into sin, the penalty was paid in his flesh. This is why I am so opposed when you hear these preachers that say that Jesus went to the cross and that on the cross he hung and he became a sinner as he took the sin upon himself. He did not become a sinner. He became a sin bearer. And that is quite different. If he had become a sinner, then he would need someone to redeem him. He was both divine, God, and also human. And it was in his flesh that the penalty of sin was paid, not in his spirit. We are told that he said to one of the criminals hanging on the cross, "This day you will see me in paradise." He didn't go down into hell for 3 days and then had to be raised up, in other words, born again, which a lot of these preachers teach. It's heresy. They don't understand Old Testament sacrifice. Why, we're told that if anyone touched even the flesh of the sacrificial lamb, they were made holy. No, he took the penalty, the guilt in his flesh. It was the flesh that had fallen. Adam fell in his flesh, and as a result of it, he fell from the presence of God. And we know the story where God had to provide a covering to bring him back. So we need to be covered. And our covering now is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why we come under his banner. This is why we come into his presence. We don't come into a man, a bishop or a pope or whatever it is. Our covering as Christians is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is head over his body, his church. And God is restoring this. In these last days of restoration, we're seeing now the Holy Spirit is bringing out a people who are coming back under the banner, the headship of Almighty God, where the body of Christ is governed and led by the Holy Spirit and not by some institution or organization or man-made. Praise God, we're seeing that happening now around the world as God is pouring out his Spirit. This is why I am such a believer that in the body of Christ, that is where God has given that open door to enter into God's presence. The door into the kingdom is set in the body of Christ, which is our message and our proclamation. Our proclamation is to go and preach the kingdom of God, not some institution or denomination or organization. The only message we have is the kingdom of God. And this is why, sadly, a lot of evangelism is failing today. The preaching and teaching of the gospel is always to get man to make a decision, a choice. And that is our role. We always present through the gospel, the good message, we present them to Christ so that they make that choice. Not following a preacher, a ministry, a man, but Christ himself. That's why he said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We lift Christ and him only up through that which we preach. Well, very well. We're getting back and talking about this veil, which we're looking in Hebrews 10. So the veil refers to his flesh, but it's a lot more than that. What its meaning also is that he carried his flesh when he rose from the dead. That human nature, that he carried that along with him into the very presence of Almighty God and sits now as the high priest. Now, the word entrance, which we read there, where by a new and living way he consecrated for us through the veil through his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart of full assurance of faith. This entrance, or the idea of this, is his flesh. So as a high priest, he's entered into the holiest of holiest, and he does this by his own blood. And his humanity achieved this. He had to become human in order to offer his blood upon that holy altar. That is why he's always referred to as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In other words, the blood that he offered is God Almighty's blood. It's undefiled, pure. He didn't become a sinner, as they tell you. His blood was pure, holy, spotless, else God could never receive it. And he had to give up in his flesh. He had to offer up his flesh to be crucified, to die, in order that the new humanity, the new race, the new creation could be raised up. That is why when Jesus was seen, He said to Mary, he said to them, don't touch me. He was a new creation. We noticed that when he appeared, they didn't always recognize him. They didn't recognize him at first. What had happened? What was it that they weren't seeing? They were with him before. He's now risen, but it wasn't until God opened their eyes, then they saw who he was. What had happened? What had changed? He was a new creation. He wasn't the same anymore. And we know when he was taken up into heaven, he entered into the tabernacle of heaven, which is a more perfect place than the physical building. In other words, heaven opened. And all that he achieved, all that he had done, all that he had done on the cross, he now entered into the very holies of holies, into the very presence of Almighty God. No one up until that point has ever entered into the very presence of God. You couldn't. You'd burn up immediately. Jesus accomplished that. And he now can sit with him on the right hand of Almighty God. And what does he do through the new birth, through the power of the Spirit? He now presents you and I into the holiest of the holies through his body, which is that living sacrifice. He presents us as the embodied beings. That's what it means. We're the embodied beings in Christ, now presented before him. That's why it says in Ephesians, we're seated with him in heavenly places. In other words, he ascended into the heavens of heavens, far above earthly powers, dominions. And there, as God-man, because he now has two natures, you only have one, a new nature created in Christ Jesus. He is God and man. So he was man and also divine. That always retained, always was, always will. And that is where you discern other religions that are cults. Because Satan hates that he's both divine and man in his human nature. And so in his new nature, listen to this, brothers and sisters, in his new nature as a representative of his people. In other words, he came before Almighty God in the holies of holies in his new nature, and he said, this is now the new creation. I am the new creation. I present myself before you. I have overcome sin and death. I have obeyed you. I have walked by faith, trusting you. The Father has received him. And so as he has received him, he also receives us as his people in Christ Jesus. This is why I always say, he doesn't see you, he sees you through Jesus, complete, holy, undefiled, whole. That is how he always sees us and receives us. The Father cannot look upon sin. It cannot even enter his presence. And the only way he can see you and I is through Jesus Christ. And that is why we have that new nature, born again. And the Father receives us because he will always receive what Jesus presents before him. That is why when Jesus hung upon the cross, the Father gave him a seed to redeem. And when he hung upon the cross, you were always there. when he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You were there when he echoed those words. Time that we have is just created by God for us. In the realm of God, there is no time. The only words that we can put to it is it's always the ever-present now. But we were always there in Christ Jesus. He was always the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He always has been. And all of this Jesus done was done in the immediate presence of Almighty God. So he has now consecrated for us a new and living way. That is why he separated himself. Remember, before he went to the cross, he washed the disciples' feet. He said, "I must consecrate myself." This is what he was doing. This is what he was preparing. He was consecrating himself so that he would prepare a new and living way for us in Christ to enter into the holies of holies, that we can now call him Abba, Father. In other words, he consecrated that open door. He opened it up to us. What does it say in Ephesians 6 and verse 20? Where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Well, we're beginning to get a real picture of what this means here, these few verses here. Having boldness to enter then into the holies of holies by the blood of Jesus. Here we see it's a new and living way. He's consecrated this for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And he's a high priest over the house of God, a priesthood. This is why we're called a holy priesthood. And a holy priesthood, the main ministry of a priesthood is prayer. Intercession. This is why Jesus said, "My house is a house of prayer." This is why we have to take prayer seriously. This is why we pray, we intercede. We pray for our nations, we pray for our governments, our leaders, we pray for our families, our loved ones, our neighbors, we pray for our enemies. We are interceding, we are supplicating, we are appealing to the mercy seat of God. Someone appeal to the mercy seat of God that you and I will be here today. Our eyes and ears open, saved by the mercy of God. Someone prayed for you. Then how much more should we stand in the gap and do the same? If we truly are born again. Because God will hear us. So what do the scriptures tell us then? Briefly, what Christ has done for us. Well, here's just some of it. It says, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. For the sufferings of death, he was crowned with glory and honor. As the captain of salvation, he was made perfect through sufferings. Having been made perfect through the things which he suffered, he has become the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. He is entered in, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of Almighty God. That's just some of the scriptures that tell us what Christ has achieved for us. So he's our forerunner then. He's the one that's gone in first. He's gone ahead. He's presented to God the new humanity in him. And so we also have boldly passed through this into the heavens. So when Christ went into the very heavens of heavens, into the very presence of Almighty God, he took you in with him as well. When he presented himself before the Father, he presented you as well. That's the miracle of all of this, brothers and sisters. We know this because Jesus even spoke of this to his disciples before he left. Let's turn as we close now in John 14. John 14, verses 1 to 3. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So when he presented himself in the holies of holies, he presented you and I as well. And that is why even Jesus said before going to the cross, before even being glorified, he knew what was going to happen. And that is why he preserves and he keeps us in this life, in order to do this. That's why we have our confession. And that is what we're going to look at next time. Because in those verses from 19 to 25 of Hebrews 10, it goes on about, let us hold then fast the confession of our hope or our faith without wavering. So we're going to look next time at why it is important what we say, what comes out of our mouth. We can be snared by our own words. And I trust, brothers and sisters, that you will get a greater insight and a help and a confidence about your confession. But our confession first, those verses 19 to 22, they're paramount. Because unless you have experienced, unless in Christ you have been presented into the very holies of holies with him, then you've got nothing to confess. You have no experience. You're just religious. You have a head knowledge of scriptures. This is to be experienced. This isn't just merely words. This is something supernatural that happens to you. This is miraculous. You can never be the same when you are changed, when you become a new creation. That is the life we walk. When you become a Christian, it's radical. God turns you inside out, upside down, completely around. Your whole life, your affections, your outlook, everything changes. You're not the same because you is died in Christ. As Christ has risen, so you've risen with him now. A new creation, a new hope, a new future, a new outlook, eternity. All of those things the world cannot give you. And that's why it affects our confession. And that's why he glories in his blood. And he brings many sons to glory. That is why we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony. That is how we overcome. You have been presented. You were with him when he presented himself, his flesh, that veil that was torn. You were with him when he entered into the very holies of holies. There never was a time when you were not with him. You have always been there in his heart in eternity. That is why I've called this teaching, he has entered bodily into heaven. That is what he accomplished. And next time, we're going to see then why our confession is so important. We begin to understand how we can be snared by our own words, because when we don't confess, when we don't confess the promises of God in light of what he has done, what he has achieved, what a mockery, what a slight, what a misjustice that we do to him when he achieved all of that. And that is why you either are by faith in Christ or you're not. We have a choice. We can decide. We have decided to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. You can follow no one better, because Jesus is God's greatest gift given to mankind. Heavenly Father, oh, we thank you, Lord, for what you achieved. We thank you, Father, that you remain faithful, obedient, and you went to the cross. Lord, we are learning all the time of what was achieved at Calvary. That is why we lift the cross of Christ. That is why we bear the cross also in our lives, and that we take it up daily and we follow you. All power and might was achieved at Calvary. The cross is the good news of the gospel. And Father, it is so profound, yet it is so real, what we have heard today, that as you presented yourself, the new humanity, the one that has overcome, the spotless, priceless blood, you presented us as well in you. Father, we thank you for this. Lord, sometimes we don't have the words. They're just not enough. But Lord, we desire to follow you, to trust you and obey you. Help us, Father, to always walk in the light as you are the light of the world. Father, use us. Grant us those words and wisdom when we share the word of God, when we preach about the kingdom of God. Let us always lift Jesus high, because you said, I will draw all men unto me. But to lift you high, it means that we obey you and trust you. And we consecrate our lives unto you. That is part of lifting Christ up. Help us, Lord, to do this. We know, Father, in our flesh we walk in weakness. We fail at times. We miss the mark. But you have provided the cleansing blood of the Lamb. And when we do fall short, help us, Father, not to hide ourselves, to cover through pride, lies, but to come running boldly to you and to confess, so that we continue to remain in your presence, walking with you. Deliver us, Father, from the evil one, from temptation, above all. from ourselves. For this we ask, Father, in Jesus' name.
Up my eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord, He is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon